pray that, we want that, but have, thank you, Jordan, Pastor Jordan, but doing that is different. We have to kind of put wheels on the cart. We've got to put some action in place. We've got to be people of motion and action and do what God is asking of us. Now, when you came in this morning, you got a card, it's on your seat. I want you to take that card, take your Bibles. If you don't bring your Bible in the next few weeks, I want you just to physically bring a Bible with you. How many have your Bibles with you this morning? You have your Bible with you. Hold that Bible in your hand. Now, some of you have, we have all kinds of different Bibles. Some of you have big Bibles, small Bibles, little Bibles. You have little, those little pocket New Testaments are like little pocket knives, I call them. This is sword of the Spirit. How many are thankful for the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? And we're in challenge. We're instructed as followers of Christ to use this word as a sword. It's a sword. The writer of Hebrews says it's like a double-edged sword. It's able to divide bone and marrow and soul and spirit. It's able to get into the nooks and crannies of our hearts, amen? It's able to do what we can't do in our own power. It's able to get in there, and it takes us reading the Word of God, learning the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and letting God speak to us through His Word. The writer of Hebrews here in chapter 5, verse 11, so you have your note pages. I want you, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your hearts about something, and I want you to be able to write it down. So on the back of that page, there's a note place, and I want you to take advantage of that this morning. The writer of Hebrews says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear because you no longer try to understand. And my heart for the growth series is that we understand that we've got to get back to the basics. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got to get back to the basics. Back to the basics of serving God, of knowing Him. How would you say we do that? Anybody have any ideas on how we get back to the basics? What does that include? Prayer? Amen? So we're creating environments around here to pray more. We're trying to pray. We're trying to encourage you guys to pray. We had an awesome time of prayer Wednesday night in this place from 6:30 to 7:30. If you can't make it on Wednesday night, Thursday morning at 10:30 to 11:30. We need corporate prayer. I know you're praying at home. I know you can do that. But if you can get here, I want you to get here and pray just for an hour. If you can only spend 20 minutes with us, just come in and leave when you got to leave. But come in and pray. There's power in prayer, folks. There's power when people get together on a common thing. We're unified and we're praying. We're asking God, Lord, do what you want to do. Someone wrote this just recently in one of our influence magazines that we get as Assembly of God pastors. It says this: disciples are built through attitudes and actions. Everybody say praise the Lord for that. I say, amen. That's a good amen right there. Disciples are built through attitudes and actions, habits and patterns, practices that identify people as followers of Christ. And so we're walking through these next few weeks together looking at the example of the disciples of Jesus and what we see exemplified through their lives. And there must be what's the secret sauce? What's the formula to growing in God? And so we're going to look at some of the pattern that we see in the early Christians, the disciples of the Lord, those who walked with Jesus, and I want us to emulate those and learn those. Earlier this year, I've shared this before, that I always pray that God gives me a word for the year. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, but the Lord gave me last year, the word was courage, and there's so many ways and instances I can share with you why that word was so profound for me. This year, early on in January, the Lord gave me the word grow. Everybody say grow. Now I said, Lord, is that for me or is that for the congregation? He said, it's for both. He said, yes and yes, like Pastor Paul says, yes and yes. It's where I want you to grow individually. I want you to grow, Steve. I want you to grow. And what that means is I'm going to stretch you. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be victories. There's going to be difficulties. But I'm going to stretch you. But you've got to be intentionally engaged with me to grow. And I want to grow spiritually. I just don't say I want to grow in the Lord. I really want to grow in the Lord. And so I do those things that help me grow in Him. And sometimes I don't have to initiate those things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does that for me. And then He helps me grow through that. But corporately, I want us to grow. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor wants us to grow. Now you got to want to. We can lead a horse to water, but we can't make him drink, so to speak. I can whet your appetite. I can talk about this all day long. I can talk about it. I can preach about it until I'm blue in the face. But until you get it in your heart that you want to get closer to God and you want to see this church really make a difference in this community, then it's all talk. Hello? Put your hard-toed shoes on because you might get your toes stepped on a couple times by the Holy Spirit, not by me. Because God's challenging us. God's challenging us to get closer to Him, to lean into Him, to shake off those heavy bands and those things that are trite, that things that are divide, those things that keep us oppressed, those things that keep us in a place where the devil wants us to be. The devil doesn't want us to be influential in this community. Anybody believe that this morning? So we're fighting a war not just against flesh, but we're fighting a war in spiritual, in high places. And that's where we need the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in us and through us. And so the Lord said, I want us to grow corporately, because I believe that He's preparing us for something greater than ourselves. Amen? In these last days, He's preparing us to be the church that He can use to reach people for Him. Amen? So we are proclaiming the gospel message. Jesus says that. We just walked through a few weeks talking about Luke 24. Jesus said, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach the repentance of sins is to be preached among all nations. And so we will be a church that preaches Jesus is coming. You better ask God for forgiveness and be saved in His name. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the gospel message. And because there's hope in Him, He's coming back. We want to be ready. We want to bring as many people that we can along with us. And early on, the Lord says, part of your growing process is that I want you to make disciples. And so the Lord says, you're going to be a church that makes disciples. Look at your neighbor and said, Pastor wants us to make disciples. I want y'all to say that out loud so I know you said it. Some of you are just like,
Pastor wants to make disciples.
There you go. Thank you, Gerard. I appreciate it, man. You got my back. Appreciate that. So, early on, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help us with that because we're going to have people in place that can help us do that. And I called this young man, Jordan. I said, hey, we talked about this in Southeastern. What do you think about coming on staff with me? And, well, what do you want me to do, Pastor? I said, we'll figure that out once you get here. And now he's here, and he's our discipleship pastor. And so I thank God for him. And we're putting things in place to do what we said we were going to do for God, to make disciples. Every area of our ministries, we everything that we do has to have the ingredient of reaching people for Jesus. An event, every event that we do at the church, I'm asking my leaders, and you should know this already if you've been in some meetings with me, but everything we do as a church, it has to have the ingredient of reaching somebody for Jesus in it. Or we shouldn't be doing it. Why should we be doing things that don't reach people for Jesus? It's just a social club if you want to do that way. We've got to create places, environments, on-ramps, if you will, for people to come into the house of God and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. Every meeting we do has to have that ingredient of reaching people for Jesus. And so, Lord, I want us to grow. And so we're going to place things in place. We're going to put things in place, people in place, to create places where you can experience growth when you come on our campus. And then when you're challenged in the Word of God, you're challenged to get in your Bible, you're challenged to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Now I want to ask you again, you don't have to raise your hand, but do you want to grow in God? Do you want to grow in God? I believe there's some examples in Scripture that will show us how we can grow and how we can lean in. But there is a stretch, there is a rhythm that personally I try to stay with. There's a rhythm in my life. And corporately, we started this year focused on prayer back in January. Now in June, we're focused on prayer again. And we're making strides in these areas. But I'm saying as your pastor, as your friend, I'm challenging all of us to grow in our walk with Jesus. Grow. Everybody say grow. Grow in our walk with Him. So I want to talk with you today. I've asked you to hold your Bibles in your hands, and some of you have electrical gadgets. That's all right, your phones, whatever, however you read the Bible. But I want you to learn to have a love for the Word of God. I want to talk to you about that just for a few moments. Having a love for the Word of God. A Word. That I make this Word a lamp, a light to my path. It lights my path. I make this Word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me, it guides me, it directs me, it checks me. It's all part of God, and I see God in it and through it. We've been talking about being clothed with power, and I believe being clothed with power, in the Greek, it's like putting clothes on. It's your clothing. So I'm putting the Word of God on my heart. I'm clothing myself in the Word of God. I'm clothing myself in Scripture. How many love playing worship music around your house? And in your car, you're clothing yourself with the presence of the Lord in those worship songs. So I want to remind us this morning of Psalm 127:1. Write it down on your paper. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who built it labor in vain. The Lord's got to build this house. Amen? I love our community, and many times Mary Alice and I will speak of this community in treasure terms and treasure words, and we tell other people about our church and where we're at, what we're doing, and we use treasure terms because we love this community of faith. We love Rock Hill First. I've got history at Rock Hill First. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got many people in this house this morning, and we are a beautiful community of faith, and I want for God to do what he wants to do in us and through us. We have an opportunity, and I'm thankful that we have a heart and a passion to say, Lord, you must build the house. It can't be about us. It can't be about man's efforts, but it's got to be by your Spirit, because if you build the house, Lord, it's going to be for eternal value. It's not going to be for temporal value, but God, you do what you want it to do. Amen. As much as I'd like to think that I can wear them, skinny jeans and smoke machines is not going to do it. I will use all the candy we can to minister and use effect. And I believe the church is all about using the things that the church created, the arts and all the things that we can use to bring awareness to the Word of God and the presence of God. I will use those things all day long. But listen, that's not going to do it. Traditional thinking in the golden calf is not going to do it. Board meetings and committee meetings and staff meetings and all the planning in the world is not going to do it. Church growth without conversions will not do it. What will do it in these last days, and hear me today, is a supernatural move of God's precious Holy Spirit. That's what will do it. There's a vital signs for us believers. You guys remember what that is? Vital signs for believers in a church that's on fire for God is love. Everybody say love. 1 Thessalonians 13, that's the greatest of these. I have faith and I have hope and have love. And the greatest of these is love. That's the vital sign for the church that's on the move. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And I'm asking, Lord, how do you want to lead this church? And the response is, cannot I lead you? Can I lead you? I'm reminded that God led Paul. He wanted to go somewhere in Acts chapter 2, and he wanted to go to preach the message. He wanted to go to Turkey. He's in Turkey. He wanted to go to Damascus, and the Holy Spirit would not let him go there. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? You wait on God. And I feel like we're in that place where we're waiting on God to see how he wants to use us, but we're also engaged in his ministry. We're also engaged in what he wants of us in this moment, in the season right now. And God used the Apostle Paul to reach many, to get into places with God, to listen to his voice, to wait on him and say, God, where do you want us to move? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? We need, but in order to move with God, we need something from heaven. We need to be moved by the supernatural, not by man's ways. Y'all hear me this morning? We need to be moved by the supernatural. Not emotionalism, not a frenzy, but biblical and holy, sound doctrine of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit mixed together. When you put sound doctrine with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, that's a powerhouse. When that comes together, God can do something amazing among us. And that's my prayer, that he would do something amazing as we infuse those two things together. So my question to you today in relation to growing in the Lord is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Hungry to be the Spirit-baptized community that God can use? In order to do that, we must be hungry. We got to want that, Rich. It's not just going to happen. We've got to be hungry for God. We got to want to know God. We have to desire. We got to be hungry to know God. We got to be hungry for prayer. We got to be hungry for the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We got to be hungry for a move of God in our times of worship. After all, what do we come to do? What do we come here for? I come to experience the power of God. I come to see being set free in the power of the Holy Spirit. I come to experience a living God that we worship. Hungry for the Word of God. To hear a word, to learn, to be encouraged by the study of the word. I want to talk today with you about this important, all important, of getting the word of God in your lives and in your hearts. This is such an important message. I want you to hear this morning. If I can implore you about anything else that you do in this moment, this hour right now, you've got to be people of the Word. You've got to get into your Word. We must be people of the Word to love the Word of God. Study the Scriptures and watch this now. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, he's talking about something about, he's very concerned. And he says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. When you read through Hebrews, especially 2, 3, and 4, and coming into 5, there's a flow and there's a message about Jesus being the high priest, and he's compared to Melchizedek, and he's the high priest. He is that holy one from God. He was human and holy at the same time. He is the deity of God, and he's making that point. The writer of Hebrews is making the point to the Jewish Christians that he's writing to. And the topic that the promised Messiah must be human and that Jesus Christ meets these requirements. And he's saying this, of both king and priest. R.C. Sproul is a modern day theologian. He says that the greatest challenge of the 21st century church now, right today, is the question of the deity of Jesus. That he was truly human and truly God at the same time. This is the same question that's been asked throughout history in the 2nd century, 3rd century, and several times throughout history. And I believe in the 21st century, we are seeing that challenge today. Is Jesus really the only way to God? Is there many ways to God? Hello? There's many ways to God. There's many paths and avenues to Jesus or to God. It's not just through Jesus. Is he truly the Messiah? Or was he just a great prophet? Was he just a great teacher? Or was he someone that people admired because he was close to God? I want you to know the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ was a living Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It also says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So nothing's changed. He is still God, and but also he was human. And so the writer of Hebrews is making this case right here in this early church. You see the pattern where he's talking about Jesus being the kingly priest. And he's laying that out. But suddenly the writer pauses and makes this almost reprimand, if you will, in verse 11. We have much to say about all this. I can talk all day long about Jesus being the priest and the high priest and Jesus being that. I can talk all day about him being human, but also being God and being holy. We can talk about all that all day about that, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand that. Does anybody hear me this morning? In this verse, the writer refers to his readers as, he says, you no longer want understanding. He says, you're dull of hearing. We're living in a day and time where people are dull of hearing the Word of God. My goodness, how many churches are in Rock Hill? How many churches are in every town you drive through? We often laugh when we drive up to the mountains in the fall. Up near Johnson City in Roan Mountain, we drive around every little turn. And there's a Baptist church on every corner, every turn. It's amazing. If you miss the road, you'd probably run into the building because they're right there along the building. And so when we leave, usually we'll head out on a Sunday after we check out and everything, and we're leaving about, 12:30, 1 o'clock to come back home. And it's amazing how many parking lots are cleared. Everybody's gone to get the fried chicken before everybody else, because the Baptists beat us to it, right? That's always a thing. And they're all cleared out, ready to go. I just think that's funny. The point here is that there's a plethora of churches in our nation. At the same time, Warren Wiersbe says that half evangelicals that claim to be evangelical Christians in America are may not even be born again. We're living in a day and hour where people no longer want to hear the sound doctrine. They only want to hear what tickles their ears. I'm not a pastor that's about tickling your ears. I'm a pastor that wants to speak what God wants me to speak, and I will speak it. That's why I say get your hard show. What is that called? Your shoes that have the steel-toed shoes. You got to wear those sometimes. Because sometimes the gospel, the word of God's not easy to, because we are in a different place. And God says, no, I want to bring you to conformity to my will. And I want to bring you back to where you got to hear my voice. How many want a word from God, a now word? I already asked you that. I want to check you again. Speak to me, Lord. Grow me, change me, develop me, God, change me.
So here the writer's saying, the readers that I'm writing to are dull of hearing. The word translated dull comes from a Greek term that carries a sense of being lazy or sluggish. The criticism here is not that the Christians are unintelligent or incapable of understanding. And sometimes we read that text and we think, oh, you know, they need the milk of the word because they can't have the meat of the word because they don't understand what the word really means. And so they need to have more training or more teaching, and then they can understand what the word means. And many times we interpret it that way. But that's not what the writer's saying here. He's saying you're intelligent people. You get it. But you're so caught up in your Jewish tradition and your Jewish ways and your own way of thinking about who God is and the way things operate that you no longer want to even hear about Jesus anymore. We're living in a day and time where people already have the concept of what God is and what religion is. Many of them are deceived into a civil religion. They really don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. They're living in a black and white kind of thing, if you will. There's no color, no dynamic to it. There's no 3D dimensional. God is now. They're living in a place where there's thinking that, yes, God created. It's a deistic thoughts process that God created the world, but yet he left it, and we're kind of, and God, there is a God, but he's not involved in my life. I don't know about you, but God is very involved in my life. Oh gosh. The Holy Spirit of God is living and active. He's right here with us now, and his word is living and active, and his Holy Spirit is living and active. And when you come into this place, I want you to experience a living, powerful God that says he is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. He is the God that we can rely on. He's the God that we can trust in. He's the God that we can love and place our life on. Oh, hallelujah. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God I see in the Scripture. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, you no longer want that. You just want to hear what you want to hear. You just want to do what you want to do. So we're living in a world that wants to conform God to our image and not our image to God's image. The writer of Hebrews is reminding them of that. As folks, we're living in a time where people want their ears tickled instead of their hearts challenged. I was honored to officiate the celebration of life service for our beloved George Hampton, our friend, this past Tuesday, and I'm honored that Miss Pat's here this morning. But among meeting with Pat, and I asked if I could use George's Bible during the service, and I spent a couple hours perusing through its pages, and I want you guys to know, not one page, some of you may not know who George Hampton, he taught Sunday school here for many years, a part of our church early on when I was a youth here, and I was one of his boys. I was one of the boys in the Sunday school class that he taught. When I looked through his Bible, and it reminded me also of my mother-in-law's Bible. And Pastor Bernie, maybe you've done this, and those of you who have officiated some funerals before, you've taken that person's Bible and you just look through and you kind of got a history of where they were at and you got an idea of their hearts. But when I read through his Bible, there was not one page, guys, starting from the first page. It was so full of notes and things that he had always have a band around that it was so thick. Now, there was not one page that was highlighted, not highlighted or underlined or marked on, or on the outside page there was a note on. There were questions that he would ask and then answer it with scriptures. Every page led to another page. Every verse led to another verse. And I read through that and I said, what a devotion to God through his word. He was a lover of God through the word of God. He was changed in his heart and in his life because the word of God changed him. He learned about God through the word. And I wonder how you're learning about God right now in your life. Are you just trusting on Pastor Steve on a Sunday morning to give you a word that's going to last all week long? Because that's not going to work, guys. You've got to get in this thing for yourself. Yes, I'll preach the word of God and I'll rightly divide the word of God to the best of my ability. I don't always get it right, but I'll sure shoot for that. I'll sure try to hit the target. But you've got to check it yourself. You've got to get into the word yourself. You've got to be hungry for the word. You got to develop a love, having a love for the Word of God. And he sure had that word, that love for the Word of God. Matter of fact, the more I reviewed George's life, he reflected the characteristics of the Apostle Paul in several ways. And I wanted to just lay these out for you before we wrap this up today, but mostly in his journey to know God through the Scriptures, his devotion to share the gospel, and his reliance on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct his life. His devotion to know God through the Word of God. I want to direct our attention to Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, he walks us through this introduction, if you will, and he's introducing himself. Paul devoted his life to knowing God through the scriptures, and I want you to see his love through the scriptures, that through the understanding of who God is through the scriptures. Paul says this in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. You see, Paul was a leader among his Jewish brothers, and he devoted his early life to the Torah. He built his churches on sound doctrine of the Scriptures. And so he learned to be changed to know God through the Torah, through the early Scriptures. He learned about God. He was the chief, he was a chiefest Jew among the teachers in his Jewish brothers. He was a leader among his brothers. He devoted his life to that. And he learned to be changed by God's Word. He had an experience with a living, powerful God on that road to Damascus where God got his attention and spoke into his life and changed him for his rest of his years. And Paul said he devoted himself to the teaching of the Word of God. Instead of persecuting Christians, now he's planting churches, and he's a leader in the early church, and he's spreading the gospel throughout Asia Minor. It changed him. It sanctified him. It brought him closer to God. So if you want to grow in God, you've got to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God will change you inside and out. Hebrews 4:12, I've alluded to it already this morning. The Word of God is living and active. It's like a double-edged sword. It's able to penetrate bone and marrow and soul and spirit. It's able to get into those places of your heart that only God can change. And how many have been changed by God's precious Word into your heart and into your life? He spoke a word to your heart. He called you to repentance by a word. The enemy of your soul doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God equips you through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will speak a word to your heart. The Holy Spirit will direct you through His Word. All Scripture, I love this in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say God-breathed. God-breathed Scripture into our hearts and lives. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training for so the man of God may be fully equipped to do the works that He's called us to do. The man and woman of God, to be fully equipped. Jesus even says, He says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For I sanctify myself, and they too will be truly sanctified. In John, he says this. Paul devoted himself to Scripture, to the learning of God's word early in his life. Secondly, Paul devoted his life to the proclamation of the gospel. Romans 1, if you want to continue with me, 8 through 12. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. In other words, He's hearing about your faith. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, I want to encourage you mutually in the faith. Paul desired to teach, to train, to mentor. He planted churches in Asia Minor. He was a pastor, father figure to thousands of Christ followers. He was an expository, a writer, a scholar. He preached to the Gentiles while hoping that his Jewish brothers were leaning in and listening. So the Word of God, when you get the Word of God in your heart and you begin to learn the Word of God, it begins to change you. It develops into something where you want to share that Word with other people. It becomes kind of a natural progression. I get the Word in me, and the Holy Spirit takes that Word, burns it in my heart, and then I want to share it with others. And you become evangelistic in your heart. You become begin to proclaim the gospel of God through your life and through the way you carry your life and through the way the Word develops in your heart. Paul devoted himself also to relying on and trusting in the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And we'll close with this one right here. It says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For it is the gospel in righteousness. The righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I love one of my favorite books, The Celebration of Disciplines, and we have it out on the kiosk. Richard Foster wrote this. He He speaks of living out of a divine center in God, where all of life flows out of a place in God, a divine center. Everybody say divine center. It's a place where there's an ebb and flow about me, and it comes out of my relationship with God. It's a place that's central for me, that all of life, how I live my life, how I carry myself throughout my day, and the attitude and my behavior, my relationships, my work, my play, my family, my monies, everything, my church life, my, if you will, my family, my community that I come around. Everything comes out of a divine center in Jesus Christ, a divine place in the Lord. And it's important that we learn to live out of this place, this divine center, if you will, because if we learn to work and to live and to move about in the middle of that and live out of that, I think we're on the right trip, the right track. We're on step with what the Apostle Paul is saying for us here. I love when he wrote to the church in his community of faith. In Galatians, we read this in chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith. Everybody say faith. In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It says, if I live this life in my own righteousness, then the righteousness of Christ is no longer effective and not even needed. I wonder how many people in the church in America are living that kind of commitment to God. If we're really leaning into the righteousness of Jesus and we're saying, it's not about me, but it's about you, Lord. It's not about my hopes and desires, but God, but it's about what you want to do in these last hours. It's about how you can use me. The only way we're going to learn that, guys, is through knowing his word. You got to be hungry for the word of God. Let's all stand together this morning. And I want you to hold your word in your hands. And I want you, if you would, not because I'm asking you to do it, not because I want you to do it or hope that you do it, but I want you to do it because you want to do it. I just feel like maybe we need to make a recommitment to God and our dedication of this word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen to the call here. The writer of Hebrews is saying this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Your ears are dull of hearing. If our ears are dull of hearing, look what this writer says back in 4 in verse 12, and I'll close with this right here. Because I think this is something we need to ponder on and take with us. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, For the word of God is active and living, is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Here's the thought right here I want you to take with you. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So what's your attitude of heart this morning? What's your posture of heart? Is this just another book on your shelf? I love, we visit a lot of homes. You do that in ministry, and you guys have done that, you know, as far as ministry, evangelism, that kind of thing. And you go into homes. I love when you ask them, like, do they have a church already? And they'll say, yeah, we got down to the church on the corner. I'll say, what's the pastor's name down there? Oh, I can't think of his name. Honey, you know what his name is? You guys got a Bible? I'm going to show you something. You know, we got a Bible. And they go to this coffee table, and underneath on the bottom shelf of the coffee table, there's a big white Bible. And they get it out, and it's got so much dust on it, and they brush it off. And then they say, we got a Bible. I'm being a little bit facetious there, but you know where I'm going with that. We got 10 Bibles in our house. You got 20 Bibles around. You know, you've got the Word of God around you, but are you getting it in your heart? Or has it become dull to you? I pray not. Hebrews 4:12 is your prescription medicine today, okay? I want you to write that one down. That's the one to take with you. The because it will change, it will penetrate, it will change who we are as a body. It will grow us. So if you're with me this morning, I want to pray this prayer. Pray with me if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you have, Lord, given us the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, for this body. As we hold the Word in our hearts, we hold the Word in our hands, we have the Word on our phones, we have the Word at home, we have the Word on the radio, we have the Word, however we listen to the Word of God, I pray, Lord, this week, starting tomorrow, even today we've started, that we'll be committed to knowing your Word. We'll be people of the Word. We'll be hungry for the Word of God. And God, we ask that the Word of God change us today. Speak to us, God, a now word, I pray, in the matchless name of Jesus. God, let it become that double-edged sword. Let it become that agent of change in our hearts and lives. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And I realize those watching online and those in this room right now, there may be a place where you say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not where I need to be in God. I hear you. I got to re-get in his Word. But I need the Lord to do a heart change in me before I can even get there. I love it that the Word of God is what changes all of us. And then we come to a place in the altar, we posture ourselves and we say, Lord Jesus, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself, but I know that you sent your Son to die for me. And I ask that you'd save me and forgive me of all of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'll commit to knowing you through your Word. In Jesus' name. My friend, if you prayed that prayer and you're serious about walking with Jesus, we want to help you those next steps. So get in touch with us. Those of you in the room, if you prayed that prayer, make sure you take advantage and engage in what we're doing around here and help us to help you get to know God, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone in this room. And I ask, God, as we leave this place, I know we don't leave your presence. And I ask, Lord, that you would command your angels concerning them to guard them in all their ways. Lord, that you would direct them, that you would guide them, Lord, that you would provide for them and protect them, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that I can trust this prayer and trust them into your hands. And it's the wonderful name of Jesus I pray and ask this. And all God's people said amen and amen and amen.